Thank you, Pastor Rob. Thank you, church. Hasn't it been such a precious 14 days? Yeah. The Lord has just come so close in our times together, and I'm sure in your times at home as well. And isn't he so close again this morning? I just sense the Lord so near. Can we just take a moment to acknowledge him here with us? Just become aware of his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I really sense there's a fresh invitation this morning that the Lord is wanting to draw near. And so let's just open our hearts this morning. Why don't we just begin to tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you're thankful for him, for the cross, for sending his son to die for us. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you, precious, precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Just put that on your lips. Just don't be afraid to speak out, to be bold, to be loud this morning. Just pour your affections upon him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. It's so easy at times to just go from one thing to the next, but how about we just stop for a moment and just say, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you're the reason we're here. You're the reason we live and breathe and have our being. We love you, we love you. Oh, don't stop, church, don't stop. Don't stop. He loves it when we pour out our affection upon him. Oh, you're beautiful. You're beautiful, precious Lamb, wonderful Savior. Thank you, Jesus, spotless Lamb, Son of David, Root of Jesse. Oh, we lift your name up. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. We exalt your name. We exalt your name. We exalt your name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's it. Keep leaning in. Keep leaning in. Keep leaning in. Oh, he's beautiful. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. We love you. We love you. We love you. Just as you're keeping your eyes fixed on him, just saying his name, pouring out your affection. If you're not quite sure what to call him, you can call him more fairer than the sons of man. The centerpiece of heaven, the light of heaven, the spotless Lamb, the wonderful Shepherd, the bread of life, our bridegroom, the true vine, the Alpha and the Omega, Messiah, Master, Creator, Teacher, Friend, Savior, Lord, Mediator, the propitiation of our sins, our Shepherd, the image of the invisible God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. All this morning, we just stop and say, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. And we honor your presence here, Lord. We honor it. Let it not be just a flippant thing. Let us not get too familiar, that we don't stop and acknowledge that it's you here in this room with us. Oh Lord, that we would be one with your Spirit this morning. One with your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Really, all I just wanted to share this morning was just a simple key, and I think it's abundantly clear. And what will keep us spiritually hungry. It's not a event or method. It's not a goal. It's not a list. It's not a rules of activities or things we set out to do or accomplish that keeps us hungry. It's a person. And that person is Jesus. Jesus. And just like Pastor Rob was saying earlier, you know, if we can just focus on him, he is all we need. We seek him first. And in his goodness and kindness, yes, there are many benefits. But if we can look through the programs, if we can look through our list of prayer needs, if we can look through the things that we put our hands to, if we can look through all of the wonderful things he loves to do, and if we can just look at him and desire him with all of our hearts, and realize that he is enough on his own. And that isn't to negate all of the good things that we set our heart to, but that is just an overflow from this foundational place of knowing him, of loving him, of pouring out our heart before him. Amen. If we make his benefits, or if we make the things he does our goal, we miss the full gospel, don't we? But if we make our pursuit Jesus, we find that in him all of those things are added. He knows our needs even before we ask them. He knows our desires. He knows the things we're going through. He is burning for his bride. That's you and I. He is burning, burning for us with a love flame. That love flame. It says in Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10, that in him, this is Christ, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that we are completed in him. It's not just it's an add-on, or that it's supplementary to the rest of our life, or he's just an addition, or that we need to feel complete, we need Jesus and this and that and that. But we are complete in him. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. And we know that he came and dwelled with man, that he was crucified and died, was buried and resurrected, and I love in Revelations, we get some imagery of what that resurrected Christ looks like. So if you can journey with me just for a couple of moments, if you can all close your eyes. And I just want to read John's account in Revelations 1. And just picture this, let your mind's eye, let your spirit's eye be awoken. It says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Down in verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes like a flame of fire. Oh, just look into those eyes this morning. His feet were fine like brass, as if refined in a furnace. And his voice has the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we look to you this morning, resurrected Christ. Fire in your eyes. Voice like many waters. All truth and authority coming from your mouth. This is the Lord that we encounter, that encounters us. This is He who we sense here in the room with us. Not a defeated Christ, but a resurrected Christ that reigns for all eternity, seated on His throne, amen. And it's Him that must be our sole pursuit every day of our lives. It says in Jeremiah 29:12 that we call upon Him, we go and pray to Him, and that He listens to us. It says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I love the promise in verse 14. He's not hiding from us. It says, I will be found by you. He's not hiding away, trying to make it really tricky for us to find Him like some labyrinth or complicated maze. But this is His heart's cry. This is what He longs for. But the invitation is there before each and every one of us to set this as our sole pursuit. Set this as our one thing, our heart's desire. To seek His face and to allow ourselves to be found by our loving Father and our resurrected bridegroom King. Now, I spoke a couple of weeks ago around Matthew 5 verse 6 about hungering after righteousness and being filled. And so you might be thinking, well, are you telling us to hunger after righteousness or after Jesus? The answer is yes. Yes, both. Because they're one and the same. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. So it's in Christ. And a good place for us to start desiring righteousness is remembering that we are already made righteous through Jesus, through his sacrifice. We're going to take communion this morning, so team, if you want to start distributing the emblems. Actually, team, do you want to come back up as well? Thanks, guys. It says in 1 Peter 2, 23 to 25, I'm just sharing some scripture this morning. I hope that's okay. Talking about Jesus here, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. I don't know about you, but I want to be committed to the one who judges righteously. Amen. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Dead to sin, alive for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Through him, dead to sin, alive in Christ, alive in righteousness. So that takes a lot of pressure off, doesn't it? If we sin or we stumble, we fall short, hang on, that's not who you've called me to be. I'm made righteous through Christ. I just step back in. And I keep my eyes fixed on the one who I'm pursuing. And we're human and we're in this broken world and we stuff up or we get our eyes off the Lord or we forget who we are. We don't stay there. We just remember, oh, hang on. Dead to sin. Made righteous through the cross and through his blood. Grafted in as sons and daughters. And this holy meal that we're taking this morning, it's for everyone. Because of Christ, he unifies us all, doesn't he? To one family. Whether you feel worthy or not, whether you feel close or not, whether you've spent the past 14 days leaning in prayer and fasting, or if you haven't. The Lord is smiling down on each and every one of us this morning, isn't he? Because it's who we are in him, not what we do for him. This is our foundation. Earlier this week throughout the fast, I was just having some time of worship and started praying, and I was just kind of cupping my hands for some reason praying, and I was just reflecting on communion, the body and the blood, and all of a sudden I could smell fresh bread coming from my fingers. It's like a, you know that smell like if you're downwind of a bakery. It was such a, thank you, Tony. Such a strong smell. And I was just absolutely taken so aback, and I was like, Lord, thank you. Thank you for revealing yourself. Also, I'm fasting, so the smell's really, really yummy. Bread's a bit of a Achilles heel for me. Anyway, but I felt there was an invitation for us all, that there's bread for us all this morning. He is that bread. He is the meal. He is the body. He is the blood. So the sacrifice that he made once and for all is the thing that unites us. And so as we take this meal this morning, I believe it's not just going to be a cup and a wafer, but it is going to be the fullness of that which it is. His body, broken, bruised, beaten, so that our house can be whole. And his blood shed to declare the new covenant, amen. The new way that gives us full access into the fullness of Christ. So if we've got all our emblems, so if we can just stand to our feet. And I just want to read Isaiah's prophecy about our suffering servant, about Jesus. And I want the word to speak to our hearts this morning. You can take and eat and drink in your own time as I read through this scripture. After I read, we're going to just worship. And I really believe the Lord is drawing himself close this morning. So after you've partaken, this altar is open, and I implore you to respond if you feel the Lord tugging on your heart. If you have that yearning, that as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Isaiah 53. Behold, my servant shall deal with wisdom. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors.